Morning. When I was a child living in West End, Woking in Surrey, the name of my primary school was called Holy Trinity, and that was next door to Holy Trinity Church. Now, I didn't know this actually when I lived there, but the address, according to the internet when I looked up yesterday, is Gryffindor, Church Road, West End. I didn't actually know it was linked to Harry Potter. Now, today is Trinity Sunday. It's the day when we celebrate the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one God. Yet, interestingly, this is the one festival in the Christian year devoted to a doctrine. Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Passiontide, Easter, Ascension, and Pentecost. They all relate to specific events in Christ's life on earth. And today is the preacher must talk of the one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's one that most people try to get out of. And I must admit, I was able to avoid that for probably about 12 years until Paul came. And this is now the second time I'm preaching on Trinity Sunday. So as I say, we must talk about God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is one and indivisible. Yet we believe in God the Father. God the Father, he made the world. And we believe in God the Son, who redeemed us on the cross. And in God the Holy Spirit, who lives within us and sanctifies us. They are not three gods, but one God. Now, there have been many attempts to try to bring this mystery into our level of understanding. Some have said that the Trinity is like water in its three phases: steam, liquid, and ice. Others have said that the Trinity is like the same person with three different titles. For example, a woman could be a mother, a sister, and a daughter, all at the same time. At my last church in Welton in Northamptonshire, one example was of a tripod, and that would not work if there were only one or two legs. You needed all three. And the last one I heard there before I came back to Ducklington was of a can of Guinness. It was opened and poured into a glass. The black liquid and the cream head were the Father and the Son. And the little widget in the can was the Holy Spirit that enabled all three to come together. With all things considered, though, none of these analogies or metaphors or symbols, or whatever you want to call them, is really a good, accurate illustration. Now, going back to my youth, in my teenage years, I used to attend Evensong on many Sundays at Holy Trinity. And I can recall some lengthy and not very engaging sermons. But we used to use then the Book of Common Prayer, and it came to my rescue. It has all sorts of tables at the front where you can work out the golden number and assess the date of Easter. I thumbed my way through it, and I discovered the Athanasian Creed. Now, we never actually said it in church even then. It should have been recited in place of the Apostles' Creed at morning prayer on various feasts, including Trinity Sunday. And it says this: the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. And later on it goes to say, the Father is incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. And yet there are not three incomprehensibles, but one incomprehensible. I used to think the whole thing actually was incomprehensible. Now, you may think I was a bit of a strange teenager, but I found all this rather fascinating. I found it more interesting browsing through the prayer book than listening to the sermon. This creed attempts to say something about the extraordinary mystery of God, the creator of the world, the redeemer of the world, and the sustainer of the world. They are not separate, but one. Each is truly God, completely and fully God. There is nothing lacking. And yet somehow that's not the whole story. I think the problem with a human being attempting to understand the doctrine of the Holy Trinity is that we can only be in one place at one time, usually only do one thing at one time, especially if you're a male, and only think one thought at one time, not three. Now, the New Testament does not explain the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, but Romans 5 does provide a good example of how the three persons of our one God worked together. In this instance, Paul writes about how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit gives us hope. Paul tells us there how we are justified or put into alignment with God the Father by faith. When we are justified with God, we are brought into alignment, made right with God by faith. How? Well, we are justified by faith through God the Son. God the Son acts as intercessor for us with God the Father. It is through Christ's grace that we are able to stand before God the Father as justified. It is through the Holy Spirit that this grace is applied into our lives. Yet these three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are one. I think I've already said that the Trinity is one of the hardest things to explain and understand in the Christian doctrine. But despite the fact that we recite the Creed every Sunday. But there is one thing, though, however, we certainly can do, and that is to praise God, even when we don't understand him. We praise God that he is a loving Father and the one true, holy, and living God. We praise him because he is our creator, king, shepherd, and the preserver of all things. We praise him that his love, power, wisdom, and justice is displayed throughout his creation. All these things are worthy of praise. As for God the Son, we can praise him for his obedience to live as a servant and to suffer and die upon the cross, to become our Saviour. Praise him for conquering the grave by rising from the dead, praising him that he made eternal life with God the Father possible. And as far as God the Holy Spirit, we can praise him because his presence with us never ends. He is the one who reveals the word of God to us, so that we not only become Christians, but also grow and become faithful witnesses. And I think that is why David could write such a powerful message in Psalm 8, which we said this morning, and as Paul mentioned, it is in full on our notice sheets. As David gazed out into the vast universe, he couldn't help but have a sense of awe and wonder for who God is. And I think that hymn of praise is to God as a good creator, ruler, and sustainer of everything in the heavens, on earth, and in the sea. It's a song of thanksgiving that no matter how small we are in comparison to all that God has created, the Father is always mindful of us and caring for us. And I think that's why we join the psalmist in crying out at the end, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. And that is why we praise God, the Trinity, for three in one. I'd like to close with some words from the prayer book, which says, First, I learned to believe in God the Father, who made me and all the world. Secondly, in God the Son, who redeems me and the whole world. Thirdly, in God the Holy Ghost, who sanctifies me and all the people. So therefore, let's humbly accept this biblical truth and join with all Christians in praising our God, the Trinity, three in one. And so, as it was said in Matthew, our reading this morning, let's do as Jesus said. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen.